It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Plex here. Bright and early on a Monday morning. And I know I didn't bring a podcast last week, so I'm hoping to get this one out early this week. And, like I said, I never, I promised that I'd, get it out as much as possible. So that's what's going on. Basically, the reason why I didn't get one out last week is because I just didn't have much formulated in my mind to talk about. And to be honest, it's still kind of continuing today. I don't know. In the past, I've just pushed them out, even if I had nothing to talk about. But, sometimes those aren't the greatest episodes. Maybe sometimes those are better episodes. I don't know, but I feel like I should maybe save the good juices for the podcast or something. I don't know. Let me know what you think. So, yeah, but like I said, I don't really have a huge topic to talk about, but something I was thinking about, and I'll get to that later, but basically it's kind of an area where business and art kind of clash. There's a lot of things where there's friction, unfortunately, and that's why it's always been hard for artists to kind of make money doing what they love, so we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But first I'll do the typical update stuff. A lot of stuff's been going on, just kind of some developments and whatnot. First and foremost, the thing that I'm super excited about right now is, I started finally, it's been like 34 days, I think, and I kept forgetting, to, watch Kevin Cross's videos on 100 days of making comics for 30 minutes a day. And he posted it again recently, and I was like, let me go look, I keep forgetting. So I went and watched a couple episodes, and I was like really inspired, so I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna watch all these and catch up. So I went back in the archives one day, and I did end up finally catching up, and got super inspired. I already was thinking about maybe kind of doing the same thing, because obviously I'm focusing on comic projects as well right now. I decided to go ahead and do it. Why not? Might as well, it'll motivate me to get more stuff done. And that, I think that's kind of the biggest thing. I see him and he's fitting the time in to do a personal comic, every day. And, if he hadn't done this challenge, maybe he would have made a little more progress, but most likely he wouldn't have, because life gets in the way. And you can see in the videos where he's like, man, sometimes he's able to spend a lot of time, but sometimes he's like, unfortunately at this point, I'm so busy with other stuff I have to do that I can really only fit in the 30 minutes, but I'm going to at least do that. And because of that, he's gotten a lot of progress done on his comic that he probably wouldn't have, gotten done. So, super exciting and interesting. So, I decided to tag along, and then I saw Jonathan Rector the same day I was going to start mine. I saw Jonathan Rector started his too, so I was like, oh man, that's it, I gotta just do this, I gotta do this video. So it's exactly what I did. So I started that, so you can check that out on YouTube. Plex Locus is my name on YouTube. I'll leave a link in the show notes. And hold up. So yeah, Kevin's got that going, and I'm definitely inspired. And so I started mine up, and I'm on day, today is day three. Haven't done my art or the comic stuff, or done the video, obviously, yet. But, you know, hoping to get to that after work. It's going to be interesting to try to fit this stuff in because, you know, I work all, you know, all day. And then in the only time I really have to work on stuff is usually at night. And I usually do that while I'm watching TV with the wife. But what I'm going to have to probably do is try to fit it in, like, right when I get home. And, you know, spend like a half an hour when I get home and make the video and then upload it and then make dinner and stuff and do all the other stuff. So, but, you know, sometimes we're busy. We have appointments and stuff. So it's going to be interesting. Maybe I could do it at lunch sometimes too. So it's kind of crazy because, yeah, it's like a half an hour of making comics. Which, yeah, I could probably fit that in no matter what, but the video thing is what makes it a little bit tough, because that'll probably take at least a half an hour probably to get it all situated. I mean, I could probably do it pretty quick. I try to keep my videos short, 5 minutes or under if possible, you know, because first of all, people on YouTube don't want to watch, you know, vlog type videos for much longer than that, unless they're super entertaining. But if it's something like this, you know, I think people generally want shorter videos. So, and even if it was longer, you could break it up into bits, like, I think, I mean, not with this, because it's a daily thing, but, you know, it depends, it all depends. My wife watches a lot of makeup videos and stuff, and those, but some of those are people that are like really entertaining and stuff. It depends, really. I don't consider myself a super entertaining person, you know. Maybe I'll develop that at some point, but you know, there's a big difference between like something I would make in like, I don't know, like a Shaytards video. I don't know if you've ever seen Shaytards, but it's this guy and like his family and whatnot, and they're actually like, I think they're like making a living for their family off of YouTube because they're so popular. They're one of the most popular YouTube things. You know, they just, the husband is just like super, expressive, and he's got a funny way about how he, you know, hangs out with his wife and his kids, and they're always joking around and stuff, and it's fun. But yeah, and then there's this other girl that my wife listens to or watches. She watches a lot of different people, but and there's a bunch of entertaining people, but there's this one girl, her name is Bunny or whatever, that's what she goes by, I guess, and she's like a makeup girl, but she also does like a lot of other stuff, fashion stuff, whatnot. But her videos are hilarious. It's Graveyard Girl is her like YouTube handle if you want to check it out. But I mean, you know, a lot of us who listen probably to this are guys who probably aren't too interested in makeup videos and fashion type stuff, but I actually get a kick out of it because she's funny. She's really funny, even, you know, despite all that part of it. I mean, I don't watch it myself. Like, I only watch it when my wife shows it to me usually, but, you know, I'm always entertained. She's a funny chick. But, yeah, so I guess my point with that, though, is, like, for me, like I said, it's going to mostly be shorter videos, not like this podcast that I tend to drag out forever. I probably should keep that under wraps, too, a little bit, because it's only one guy, and a lot of times I go on tangents and stuff, but you guys seem to dig it, so cool. I know personally with podcasts, because you can do it while you're driving or while you're, like, doing some exercise or whatever. You know, I like my podcasts long, because I have a lot of time to do that kind of thing, where, I mean, I'm busy, but I'm not doing anything more than driving or something. So, you know, there's that. So I like my podcast long. Yeah, so let's see, what else? So, yeah, Jonathan started his. He's only done one so far. I can't wait to see some more. He showed on Facebook, I saw like a little bit of progress he showed of like the character design for his comic that he's going to be doing. And he's going to be doing like kind of a more messy, I think, style. Like, I don't know if that's a good way to describe it, but like not so super like detailed and crazy. It's more like a fantasy type of thing. And I mean, Jonathan Rector's stuff is so good, it really doesn't matter. It's going to be awesome, whatever it is. And the character he created looks really cool. It's totally different type of thing, that I would expect from him. But, you know, he's super creative. I've seen so much amazing stuff from him, from his character design to his, you know, paid work, and then to, you know, his God Slayer character, and then what's the other one, the mustache guy. I'm trying to think of what his name is. He's got like a huge mustache. I can't think of what his name is, but yeah, that guy's cool. He's done like cartoony stuff, really. I mean, his art is so amazing, super inspiring, and he's also like one of the coolest guys ever. Like, he's so positive and stuff, like in his scribble cast, and he used to do some podcasts and those were awesome and cool dude. So props to Jonathan for that. I guess while I'm giving out props, I should also say props to Eddie Crosby. I was talking to him, I'm like, man, because I see his art all the time. So awesome. He's got so much cool stuff, constantly putting work out there. His coloring is amazing. His drawing is amazing. He's always doing, like, the classic, like, girls and stuff. And then he does, like, these robots and stuff. And I'm like, I finally messaged him. I mean, I've messaged him before, but finally messaged him recently, and I'm like, man, you know, are you selling anything yet? Because I really, I want to get some of your art. It's so awesome. It's amazing. And, you know, even if I have to save up for it or something, you know, I need a piece of his art. It's so cool. And, I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that I feel that way about, but I've gotten a lot of art from a lot of these guys and, you know, bought some of their stuff. But he just didn't have anything that I saw online to get. So, you know, I'm like, is there anything? He's like, well, I could do like a commission for you if you want, you know, or I don't think he even said it like that. He's like, oh, what do you want? I'll draw something for you and send it to you. I'm like, well, I'll pay for it and stuff. But he's like, oh, no, it's, you know, to thank you for doing the podcast. And I'm like, really? All right. I mean, I'll go with that. I mean, I'll do a trade. Maybe I'll send him something back, you know. I told him I'll at least, you know, pay for shipping or something because it's coming from Australia and stuff. But, yeah, so I'm super amped. Props to Eddie Crosby for, you know, for hooking that up. And he already, actually today, he sent me a picture of, like, the drawing, the underdrawing, I guess, part of it, of what he did. And, you know, I told him what I tell everybody generally. Is can I get a piece with my character glyph in it or something? And usually it's a different combination. With Jonathan Rector, I paid for a commission from him. And, you know, I said, oh, man, I'd love to get a piece where, you know, glyph and tusk are battling or something like that. And he ended up sending me something that was more of like an illustration, but tusk was like in the background and glyph was in the foreground. And, I mean, I couldn't be more happy. It's so amazing. Like, it's one of the most amazing pieces of art I've seen, and it's kind of silly for me to like ask people to do a commission of my character, because most people that I do that with, they all pretty much draw better than me. So it's like, when I show it, it's like I feel weird, because I'm like, here's an awesome picture of my character. You know, when I make my comic, will you buy it, even though the art sucks compared to this? but, you know, it's alright. It's still awesome to see, and who knows, maybe I'll hire somebody to make the glyph comic sometime. I'm definitely interested in seeing other people's takes on my character, and I mean, I haven't 100%, like, put it out there like this, but, you know, I'm not, I don't know if I'm, if glyph is, what are they, I always forget the word for this, but like, public domain or whatever, like, there's other term for it though, but, you know, I mean, contact me, I'm open, you know, if you're interested in using the glyph character, you know, I'm totally open to, letting people do their own thing with glyph, you know. I actually already had Philip Victor approach me about that, and, you know, he was going to write, like, a little book or whatever, and we'll see how that goes. You know, right now it's kind of on hold, but he already wrote a bunch, you know, kind of an outline for it, so hopefully that'd be cool if he ends up getting to that. But, you know, we could collaborate, or, you know, if anybody just wants to kind of take my character and run with it, you know, I might be open to that. It depends, you know, we'll talk it through, but I'm not, you know, I'm pretty an open dude, you know, so Facebook messaging is a great way to get to me, or you could always email me too, plex@plexhop.com. It's weird URL because that's my old website, but yeah, that's what our email address, but I really would like to just get another Gmail account, or maybe I should use one of my old Gmail accounts, but there's too many emails to keep up with. So it's always a task to, like, switch over emails and whatnot. But, yeah, so props again to Eddie Crosby for starting out. This thing's looking awesome, and I can't wait to see the final product, and it's just too awesome. So, yeah, let's see, what else for updates? I mean, the thing is, I'm working on the Travelers comic is, like, the big focus with this, you know, 100 days of making comics. But I'll also be working on another part of the focus is Resident Aliens. Both of those are kind of the focus, which is the one I'm doing with Jamie Gamble. And I have, like I said before in previous podcasts, I have two other comics, like Glyph is always out there that I might be working on that at some point. And the Mecha World comic is also a thing. So, but those both are kind of on the back burner. But I might get a little work done with this whole 100 days of comics on those if, like, I'm stuck on Travelers for a minute, or, you know, Resident Alien, maybe I'll switch up or something, or maybe I don't feel like doing the thing I have to do for the Travelers, so I'll switch it up and go with another one so I can do some drawing or writing or whatever. You know, it's always good to have a few projects to oscillate back and forth from. But, yeah, so I'm trying to think if there's any other things. Got the Patreon still going on. Just going to keep that going. Patreon.com/Plex, I think it is, yeah. If you want to support, that'd be really awesome. Definitely looking to get some more supporters on that. Let's see. I feel like there's a bunch more. Clean my studio. If you check out my YouTube videos, you'll see that. Still somewhat a mess because I just have too many things that I was working on. Like, all the toy stuff is still all over the place. Well, not all over the place, but it's in, like, one big mound in a corner, basically. And then it's a little bit on my desk, too. But, you know, other than that, I don't know. I guess there's not a lot more to update. I've been, you know, collecting Kirby comics here and there. That's kind of my fiendishly looking for old Kirby comics, you know, lately. I've almost filled up a short box. But, yeah. Guess that's about it. So what I wanted to talk about today is basically I've been listening to a lot of business books and podcasts lately, a little more so than the art podcasts, mostly because the art podcasts aren't as abundant anymore, you know. Got Peter Palmiotti's Independent Road, which has been awesome lately. And also Lean Into Art, and then they got the Extra Lean stuff, and Jersey's doing a another show, Fabulous Secrets, but I haven't kept up on that because they're not in the iTunes feed. So, you know, I kind of go back and forth, and I have to go, like, on the Patreon site to get to it, and then I just kind of binge on it, so it's not regular. The only thing that's in the iTunes feed is the Lean Into Art one. You know, Paul Kijiji's Process Diaries on break, because he's doing, you know, the convention circuit, and he had a lot of family things he was doing and stuff, and, you know, but I kind of missed that one, you know, because it's one of the big ones I always listen to, and, you know, Man vs. Art is awesome, but that, you know, updates only once in a while. Idiot Engine, I wish was updating more. I really love Ted Secco's podcast, but I got a nice little dose of Javier Hernandez on the Peter Palmiotti podcast, so that was cool. Kind of a little piece of the Idiot Engine type of situation. yeah, not a lot of art podcasts going on. And there probably is more out there that I just haven't searched out, but, you know, I have to search those out. But, you know, I've just been focusing on business stuff anyways, because I need to do something, you know, I need to make more money than I'm making right now. It's just, I don't know, I'm making more money than I've ever made, but it's not a lot. I'm barely paying the bills with it, you know. Some things have freed up in my finances, debts are taken care of and stuff, so, you know, I have a little more wiggle room. I'm not sweating at the end of every month anymore as much as I was, but I'm still sweating a little. So, I mean, I just need to make more money, because right now what we're doing in our finances, me and my wife, is we're catching up on a lot of things, like little things. Like, I mean, I went for a long time without buying, like, you know, little things like, I don't know, socks, clothes. You know, there's, my car needs more things to get fixed. I did update and get my tires fixed when I got my taxes back. Lindsay needs new glasses, which we just got to make an appointment for. You know, I know this is, like, super detailed that you probably don't need to know, but the point is, there's, like, I just bought a scale the other day. We haven't had a scale. And, like, you know, furniture, like, we have a lot of ratty furniture that needs to kind of be updated. I mean, we went to IKEA and got two new, like, end tables. They're, like, $10 each. They're, like, super basic. Not the most super, like, amazingly built things, but they do the trick. And we had some that were the same kind of thing, but smaller, and they were breaking and stuff. So, you know, we at least updated that, you know. You know, so we've been updating little things here and there that we just, for years, haven't had a chance to even touch because, you know, we're lucky if we have food on the table type of thing. So now we're able to have food on the table, and that is even still kept at a somewhat minimum. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot more breathing room. I've bought comics more, and Lindsay's gotten more makeup because that's her hobby, you know, so... You know, sometimes we splurge a little bit too much on that. I went and saw the X-Men. I don't usually go see movies anymore, but I did that. Hung out with my boy and did that. So, you know, things have gotten a little better. And, I mean, that's great. Like, I'm still doing a lot better and am certainly very grateful for what I have because, you know, a lot of people, you know, America's blessed, you know, we... have even like some of the poor, most of the poor people have a lot of stuff, you know, compared to people in other countries, you know, some other countries, you know, so, you know, I can't really complain, but, you know, there's a lot that's still holding me back because of money. You know, I want to be able to save money so that if a crisis does come, you know, I have something, you know, to kind of, you know, fall back on, you know. So I definitely, and I have other debts too that I have to dig myself out of. I'd like to get my car paid off. Like I said, I got to fix car stuff on my car, and I have a couple other debts, you know, that weren't taken care of yet. So, you know, I want to get out from under that. I want to be 100% debt free. And also another big thing, and I forget about a lot, is, you know, I'd like to have a kid or two, you know, someday. And we're getting a little older, you know. My wife's she's going to be 34 soon, and I'm 35. Still pretty young, but, you know, the clock's ticking. And so, you know, I really want to get to the point where I need to make more money. Like, I wouldn't be able to have a kid on this income, basically, is the point. So I want to get a different income situation. So that long tangent aside is, you know, I've been listening to a lot of business podcasts. I always have, but even more, I've been hunkering down on it, trying to figure out how to do this art and business thing mixed together, or, you know, there's a lot of different options. And kind of what I've been thinking about more lately is, some of the stuff I've been listening to and reading is kind of keep the art and business stuff separate for now. I mean, I'm always going to be pushing the art, trying to get this thing sold, but I haven't found a way to do that, and I've tried so many times. And I posted recently on Facebook and all that, like, you know, I wrote, you know, this is one of those days where I just feel like giving up art, you know, altogether, art and music. And, you know, all you guys who responded to that with encouragement and stuff, thanks. You know, you guys are awesome. But, you know, I rarely have those days, but I had one. And it's kind of always lingering there a little bit because, you know, there's the business aspect and the art aspect just doesn't mix very well, you know. You know, I listened to the rest of that book, The War of Art, and, you know, at the end, it's actually a really almost poetic way that he ended that book, really cool. But he basically said that art is territorial, which I thought was interesting. And what he means by that is that you can't really be inauthentic with art, basically, is you have to kind of lay stake on your territory and work within that just for the sake of that, you know. You can't really go and find trends, and, I mean, you can, people do, but, and it's weird because this whole aspect seems to contradict a little bit with what I was talking to you about in the last podcast from that book. So I'm kind of not sure how he mixes the two, you know, being a professional and working on your art professionally, but then staying territorial and not quote-unquote selling out, you know. So what he ended on basically was you have to work territorially. And he said, you know, for instance, he, you know, he just had it in him, you know, basically to write this book. And I think he said the book he wrote, I can't remember what it's called, but, you know, it's a famous book that I've definitely heard of. And he said, I guess it was about golfing or something, I don't know. But he said, you know, it's like, about a subject that, it's a fictional book about a subject that, you know, isn't popular in fictional books type of thing. And, you know, it wasn't really a good marketing move, but I just had to write it. You know, I had to stay within that territory of what was my passion and stuff, and what I felt, you know, the muse telling me, basically. So he did, you know, he's like, I have to at least get it out, even if it goes nowhere. So he did that, and it ended up being a huge success, you know. And one big factor to that is that it was an authentic book, you know, because he stayed within the territory, and he explains it way better, but, you know, he worked within his passion and with what he knew, and he wrote the book, and like I said, it was a success. So there's something to be said for that. But at the same time, this is where, you know, the business guys and the art guys kind of clash, is that's 100% backwards for people who, you know, are successful in business. They would not suggest doing that. I mean, maybe some might have that idea, but for the most part, what you do in business is you seek out markets and you find out where the pain is in that market, and you talk to people within that market, and then, you know, it can, you know, it's better if it's one, a market or an area or an industry or whatever that you're passionate about, so there, it's still authentic in its own way. You know, you go into markets that you're interested in. Obviously, you're not going to go into, you know, say golfing industry or whatever. If you hate golfing, you know, why would you do that? But, you know, it's less about the passion for them, and it's more about, you know, finding ways to make a living and, you know, have family life and do their thing, you know, just like we're all trying to do. But, you know, that whole issue of, like, artistic and integrity type of thing is less of an issue. Authenticity is still a big deal, you know, it's still important, but it's, you know, with our art, we're so intimate with it that, you know, if we do anything other than what is in our, you know, hearts and minds to do, you know, we feel like we're being inauthentic. And like I said in the last podcast, our souls are, like, totally tied up in this whole thing we're making. Whereas with business guys, you know, it might not be so much. It's more about the system. The thing that they're passionate about is the system of creating wealth and making a living and, you know, building businesses and stuff. That's more what their passion is. And the product or whatever is sometimes secondary. And, you know, I think we criticize that a lot. And when it's driven, when it gets to the point where it's, like, going in excess and it's, you know, greed is driving it to the point where there's abuses being taken and, you know, they're doing unethical things, then yes, you know, I totally agree. That's wrong, and people need to stand up to that, you know. But I don't think that, I don't believe at all that, you know, all business people are like that. And, you know, integrity is a very important aspect of business as well. And, you know, the good things that go along with just being a good human being are also very helpful in business as well. To the point that even the people who are kind of slimy, you know, the those kind of people are, they try to act authentic and they try to act like they have integrity, like they fake it. And sometimes they fake it so well that they're able to get money flowing their way, you know. But, you know, you can do it authentically. And I think that those, you know, authentic attributes that people have only help the business. And I feel like, you know, there's no reason why people can't, you know, be extremely profitable and be contributing to the world in a positive way. And it's not, you know, I don't feel like if you're super profitable that you're abusing people just because you're profitable, you know. People, a lot of people who do become extremely profitable, they go on to do more humanitarian works and they're able to kind of separate themselves from the business because they've already done well enough to kind of basically be set for life. And you see some examples, there are a lot of examples of people who do that. So, I gotta pause it here. So yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not as critical as some of my peers, maybe, I don't know. You know, who knows what people think, you know, I don't, you know, I think even when people say extreme stuff against businesses, they also realize the exceptions as well to the rule, but they just get a little extra angered about the abuses and stuff, so, you know, maybe I'm not angry enough about them. But, you know, I definitely do not approve at all of, you know, any abuse, really. Whether it's personal or on a business level or religious level, any of these things, you know. I think it's all despicable, I guess, which is kind of a goofy word. But, you know, it's definitely worth, you know, looking down upon, basically. I mean, I don't judge people for what they do, but I do, I can judge and see what actions are wrong and messed up, you know. And, so, but yeah, I'm not the judge. I have no power to judge, you know. I'm just another human here trying to work this thing out just like everybody else. So, but yeah, so there's that kind of friction, where a businessman might look at a market, you know, and then they study the market. They do interviewing techniques, they call people, they get to know what the pain areas are, what's the issues that, you know, people are having the hardest time with, and then they figure out some kind of service or product they can create that will help alleviate that or fix that problem. I mean, there's a lot of different approaches to business, but, you know, this is kind of a pretty basic part of it that even a lot of business people kind of miss. But it's an important way to approach it. And, you know, it's kind of automatic money, basically. It's an easier way to navigate towards money, basically, because, you know, if you're fixing somebody's problem that you've already studied their problem so well that you already know that this is a problem that all these people within this market are having, and you create a product that helps with that, people are going to want to pay for that. You know, it's going to be almost automatic. All you have to do, you don't have to do a lot of marketing. All you really have to do is let people know that it exists, and people will just automatically be wanting that service, you know, or whatever it is, because it hits a pain so well. And I mean, what's wrong with that? That people might think of that as like a manipulative situation, but it isn't. I mean, it is and it isn't, but the word manipulation kind of gets a bad rap, or maybe not. I mean, that's kind of a good, hello, so I guess I got cut off, and then I recorded a bunch more after that, and then it went away, so I don't know. For some reason, it's not there, so now I have to kind of retread some old thoughts. But that's all right. Maybe they'll be more refined. But, I was saying when I ended this part was, you know, there's the word manipulation kind of gets a bad rap, but maybe it deserves a bad rap because it's kind of, that's kind of that side of that concept. Like, there's other words that people use that have, you know, more positive connotations, like persuasion, being persuasive, or being a leader, kind of, it has part of that in it, you know, even those can sound negative in certain contexts and stuff, but, you know, the point being that, business people find ways to create, you know, money, basically, through servicing pain, deep pains within other businesses or other people's lives or whatever. Like, so, I mean, that's why, like, the diet industry is so big, you know, and there's always new diets coming out. And, you know, some of those people are authentic. Weight Watchers is a great diet program, you know, and they make money doing it, and they've been around for a long time. And I think, I mean, I haven't studied their business necessarily, but I think they're authentic, and I think that's why they've, from the little I've seen, I think they are, and that's probably why they've thrived for so long. And their plan is a basic plan. It's no, like, super stupid, like, little tricks. It's just count your calories and make sure you're not eating too much bad stuff and, you know, exercise. I mean, it's, you can't get more basic than that. And it's, and I think the unique aspect of it that makes it work also is it's a community-based service. You know, it's almost like a AA of dieting, you know. So, and they monetize that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They're making people's lives better, and people are paying for that help, you know. So I would like to be manipulated in that way, and hopefully I have enough money to pay for somebody to manipulate me in that way so I can lose some weight. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of us want to be more healthy, and it's worth the money to pay for somebody to help you, because the thing that we have trouble with as humans is willpower. You know, we have a hard time with that. So it's that accountability helps with the willpower, you know. So, you know, manipulation, persuasion isn't always bad. And sometimes we pay people to do it. I mean, college. How much money is going to colleges? You know, that, it's a ridiculous cost. They, in my opinion, they don't get as bad a rap as they should sometimes, you know. Because, you know, people are just like, oh, well, it's good. You're learning something. You can go out and make money, and it makes our country a better place when people, you know, learn stuff. Yes, it does, but they, you know, they overcharge. There's other things that go into it, prestige for certain colleges, and, you know, there's other business aspects that get into it as well. And, you know, there's a lot of, you can, you know, mastering things that have no use towards the world, you know, and get a degree. There's a lot of shifty stuff that goes along with that, you know. There's schooling that they teach you, you know, a certain skill or whatever, and they say, you know, oh man, like, there's a radio broadcasting school, and they, you know, say, oh man, you know, learn to do something that you're actually passionate about and go out into the world and do it and make money. Well, they sure certainly get a lot of people to come and go to that school. I went to the school and got my little certificate too. I did the same thing. And but when it comes down to getting people jobs, they're all right with that. But what they don't tell you when they're recruiting you is that radio jobs pretty much suck, you know. Like, the industry is not, you know, what you know, you just don't get paid very much for most of the jobs, and a lot of times you have to apprentice for a long time before you even get to a paid position, and then you're paid like minimum wage. And only very few of the people within the radio are industry are actually making a lot of money, and some of those people are making crazy money. You know, I mean, I'm sure Rush Limbaugh is, you know, I'm pretty sure it's well documented that he's pretty darn rich. Same thing with Howard Stern, you know, and a lot of other these radio people. But those are not the majority of the people working in radio, you know. And so, yes, they teach you the stuff you need to know to get into radio and do well. And yes, they help you get into that, but their recruiting process is they want to get as many people through the door as possible, even though they know for they know definitely that only a small percentage of those people are actually going to make something like a real career out of it. And it's sort of manipulative, but, you know, it's kind of a wishy-washy thing, I think, because, you know, people might think that that's what they want to do, but then they come to find out that's not what they want to do. You know, it's not really their responsibility to, when they're recruiting to get people in, tell them that the industry sucks, you know. Nobody's going to say that if you want to run a business of having a school, you know. But that's something I didn't know going in.
And this recording program keeps cutting me off. I think it might be because of I don't have a lot of storage on my phone or something. I've been battling that. If you guys know a good way to manage your storage on iPhones, please let me know, because this is becoming an issue, especially trying to do these videos and stuff too. But yeah, what I was going to say was, what I always tell people getting into the, who are interested in getting into radio, is, you know, only do it if you know you have a huge passion to be a radio person, you know. Don't do it if you just kind of think, oh, radio seems like a fun job, you know, let's try it out. You know, it's, you gotta have a passion and be willing to sacrifice not getting too much money for a while before, before you gotta kind of pay your dues before you get to the point where you're making decent money. So, yeah. But, you know, like I said, I'm willing to pay people to manipulate me, basically, you know, when it comes to things that I want to be manipulated on. I want to lose some weight, you know. You know, I don't know. There's other things like that. Teaching and going to school is a good example, I guess, of that. So, you know, if you look at manipulation or persuasion in a pure sense, where, again, it's another, just another tool, then, you know, it's part of business and it's part of life, you know. If I was single, I'd want, you know, a hot chick who's got a very, you know, interesting personality or whatever to manipulate me into getting, going out with her. You know, I don't know. But it might bloom into like a really awesome relationship type of thing. So, you know, there's little aspects like that, you know. So, there's that. And then the other thing is, one of the things that why we have so much friction between business people and artists is because, as humans, we want to relate with people. And artists don't see the art in business, and business people don't see the practicality in art, you know, unfortunately. And that's probably something we all need to work on. Because that's the thing. If we want to relate with business people, we have to see what they're doing as an authentic art as well. There is an art to selling, you know. And being authentic is a big part of that. Being who you say you are is a big part of that. Some people fake it. Like I said, I think I said that already, but, you know, if you seem authentic and you really are authentic, that's only going to help your business. So, you know, there's an art to business systems and strategies as well. There's even an art to science, you know. Even like Albert Einstein, you know, emphasized things like imagination and creativity and curiosity,
as being the driving force of what he was doing, and he used the scientific method to invent and to test. You know, I mean, I don't know a lot about Albert Einstein, but I have obviously seen a lot of quotes. He was obviously one of the most inspirational people, you know, that people look to, especially in the scientific community. But, you know, sometimes people are such pure scientists that, you know, they only look at facts and analyze things, but they have no creative aspect, and they would do well to cultivate some of that creativity within them, you know, and I bet that would help them in their pursuits. Of course, you got to make sure you analyze things to the point where you test them and prove things right or are to be true or false, or, you know, whatever, fact or fiction, I guess. But, you know, I think the creativity and art part of it plays a part. It's like human beings, you know, we have emotions, we have our mind, we have our body. All those things play a part. If you are such a, you know, pragmatist that you believe that, you know, emotion plays no part in a balanced life, then you're going to be off balance and you're going to lose out, you know. Emotion and things like intuition can be, you know, explained on a spiritual level, but even if you don't believe it as like a spiritual thing, it's also, it can be explained with subconscious and just our environment and our senses all kind of working together to cause us to notice things we might not have noticed just with our eyes or just with our ears, you know. I think it's a culmination of all the things put together that causes us to realize, you know, maybe we should have fear here because we should be running away from something because there's something around the corner that's dangerous, you know, type of thing. That's just kind of a basic example, but it's not just on a fear level that that intuition can play a part. There's a gut sense sometimes you get, and it might just be kind of a subconscious thing, but it's still, you know, logical. It's just we kind of use that as a shortcut to get to results sometimes, and sometimes it serves us well, and sometimes it betrays us, you know. So that's why it's important to check in with your head as well, you know, and analyze the situation. So, you know, people feel like they fall in love and end up in a situation where it was actually more just lust and infatuation, you know, but come to find out, the two people are so incompatible that they can't function, you know. Or, you know, I mean, opposites do attract, and you don't have to be 100%, like, quote-unquote compatible exactly. You know, sometimes the opposites complement each other, you know. And you get to learn a lot by marrying somebody who isn't exactly like you, you know. But you can get into bad situations with people who maybe are going down wrong paths you don't want to go down, basically, because you got infatuated, you know, with that person. So, you know, you got to check yourself before you riggedy wreck yourself. You know, so the point being that we don't always relate with each other. Artists don't have a hard time relating with business people, and business people, same thing, they have a hard time relating with artists. And we need to realize that there's an art in business, and we need to realize that you can do business authentically and artistically, and that there's nothing wrong with also checking in with the mental part of it and trying to make sure the bottom line is good and that you're making money and profiting and not, you know, losing money and even profiting to a point where you're making a lot of money, you know. That's what business is. And there's an art to it. And as long as you're not abusing situations, you know, there is integrity within it as well. I think that business actually is a great way to become a better person. And a lot of people do. But obviously a lot of people become worse because you, with business sometimes comes power. And we all know that power can very easily corrupt. And also ego comes into the factor sometimes. So that causes issues. But just because somebody has a little bit of an ego trip at some point doesn't mean, you know, we all do. Even artists do that, you know. Everybody does that from time to time. We're not perfect. And, you know, maybe somebody does an ego trip and then they fix their ways and don't do that again, you know. We're all learning, you know. So I just am a little more forgiving and understanding of situations, I guess, with business people. But, you know, again, I don't believe in abuses, and I think that we should be against that for sure. So, yeah, that's where the friction comes in, and my thoughts are like, you know, how am I going to approach this? How, because it kind of takes two different types of thinking to be successful in art or in business, you know. They don't really merge very easily, you know. That's why we need each other, you know. Business people need artists to make really awesome stuff that they can sell, and artists need business people to help them sell the things that they're making that are awesome, you know. It's just the way we were created, the way humanity works. We work better when we work together. Damn, I'm coming up with a lot of silly little stupid helpy tips, as Jersey and Rob sometimes used to say. But yeah, so, I mean, that's why I'm kind of thinking of maybe, like, separating my business, trying to set for a little while, separating some business, you know, ventures or projects from the artistic projects, because I'm never going to stop doing art. I can't, like, it's within my DNA to just keep doing it. But, you know, the business side is a struggle, and I'd like to learn it, you know, so I can merge the two. And that's kind of what this podcast is all about a lot of times. And you know, I'm hoping that this, you know, can be kind of a journal of me making that happen, you know, learning how to make that happen. And and it's also just about, you know, escaping through making awesome art and enjoying that, and escaping through, you know, enjoying other people's art as well. So yeah, that's kind of my thoughts here in you know, on the subject. And, you know, I don't know, it's not an obvious thing to balance, but there's friction, and between the two kind of mindsets, and I'm trying to find the bridge, I guess, you know. Where's the happy medium where we can work together and figure this thing out? And people have found that happy medium. I mean, obviously, there wouldn't be things like Disney and Nickelodeon and Marvel Comics if there wasn't some kind of happy medium. But, you know, again, in those situations, a lot of times the artist gets the shaft because the business people have the power, usually. So that's unfortunate, but I think there are ways that there are companies probably that do it a little more and who strike a happy medium. And I'd like to be part of that, you know. Maybe I can exemplify that in my own work, you know. So that's kind of the goal. And if I have to keep the two separate for a while, that's okay. and then I'll try to find a way to merge it, you know. So we'll see. But yeah, that's about it. This app keeps cutting me off here, so I'm gonna end it. I think I got most of my thoughts out there, and you know, I hope to see you next time, you know, on the Escape Artist Podcast. And you know, if you'd like to help out, you can always go to iTunes, leave a rating, a review. That helps people see it. And then also check out the Patreon, patreon.com/flex, if you want to contribute financially and help me keep doing this stuff and keep doing the comics and the music and stuff and get to a point where I can help you guys more and get this business thing going and off the ground, you know. So I really appreciate you guys help, and if you'd like to contribute in that way, that's awesome. And if you would like to just share this or just come and I'd love to hear your thoughts on the situation, you can always email me like some audio or something, or just your thoughts as well at plex@plexhop.com. Or you could record, like I said, record some audio of a question or a thought you had or something to add. That's always fun too, and I'll play it right on the show. Little extra editing for me, but that's always fun too. So that would be really cool. And I'll respond to any of the comments. I always respond to comments and emails and everything, you know, because I'm not super famous, so I can still respond to everybody. So that's an awesome thing, and it's all about the community. So yes, once again, you guys are awesome. Thank you for listening. Donkey Jaw Projects for the show notes. .com, donkeyjawprojects.com. And yeah, I'll see you next week. And yeah, peace out, yo. Later.
Background music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.